I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Cambodians eat a lot of fish. Now, that may not be surprising for a country that borders the South China Sea, but most of the country's fish actually come not from the ocean, but from a huge inland lake. The lake is called the Tonle Sap. It's the largest lake in Southeast Asia, and its fish provide Cambodians with most of their protein. Lately, though, the Tonle Sap ecosystem has been altered by dams, logging, and other development, and environmentalists fear that the lake's unique qualities are at risk. The World's Mary Kay Magstead has our report.
The rhythms of the Tonle Sap Lake are one of nature's great wonders. During the dry season, it's a shallow lake, about the size of Rhode Island, that feeds into the Tonle Sap River and then the Great Mekong. But when the monsoons come, the Tonle Sap River reverses course and feeds into the lake, swelling it to six times its size. The annual transformation floods fields and forests and provides ideal breeding grounds for the lake's legendarily abundant fish stocks. Cambodians have moved with these rhythms for centuries. Today, they still celebrate them with an annual water festival of dragon boat races and traditional Cambodian music. Lately, though, those who grew up prospering from the lake's rhythms are finding that things aren't what they used to be. The town of Kampong Lung literally rises and falls with the Tonle Sap. It's a floating village of bright blue houseboats and vendors in longboats offering tropical fruit, piles of clothes, and gasoline for sale. Seng Tong was born here 50 years ago. Sitting on the floor of her houseboat, holding a young grandson, she says when she was his age, the lake's rhythms were far more predictable, and the village was just a tenth today's size. Now, Seng Tong says, there are more than 1,000 people here, almost all, it seems, trying to catch fish. She waves her hand for emphasis, a hand missing its fingers. When she was a teenager, she says, the Khmer Rouge cut off all her fingers and toes because she kept stealing food, because she was starving. In those days, when the fanatic communist movement was trying to turn Cambodia back to year zero, there was no development around here. Nor was there during the years of Vietnamese occupation and civil war that followed. Now, the country is playing much-needed catch-up, but that development has often come at the expense of the environment. I take a longboat out on the open lake to see how fishermen here are faring.
We've just stopped next to a fishing boat. It's just a little rowboat. And they've caught shells. What is it?
Shell, yes.
Snails?
Snail and shell.
Yeah. So how is the fishing right now?
Not so good, says fisherman Saul Ning. He tells me he's been fishing here for 6 or 7 years. In that time, he says, the Tonle Sap's famous giant catfish have all but disappeared, and other fish have been getting fewer and smaller. Eric Baran is a researcher at the World Fish Center in Phnom Penh. He says the overall catch has not decreased.
But there are more and more people trying to get their share of that catch, so they get less and less per person. And also the quality is changing with less and less big fish and more and more small fish that breed within a year, which makes them very sensitive to weather fluctuations, and that creates increasing variability in the catch.
The fish harvest is also being affected by development onshore. Large swaths of floodplain forest are being cleared for farmland, and makeshift irrigation dams are being built to catch floodwaters for use in the dry season. Both of these are destroying vital habitat for fish and other animals. Environmental advocates say many of the dams are illegal, but local authorities don't enforce the law. Then there's the impact of the dozens of big dams upstream on the Tonle Sap and Mekong rivers, some as far away as China. Eric Baran says those dams have high walls that keep back the water and don't allow fish to travel and are damaging the lake's ecosystem.
What is extremely important is the fact that fish can keep migrating between their breeding places upstream and their feeding habitats in the Tonle Sap. But if the banks of the Tonle Sap become constructed, if dams are built across rivers, then we will lose that connectivity. And without those migrations, the whole production system would collapse.
Other potential threats could be lurking beneath the surrounding landscape. The boatman who took me out to find fishermen tells me that just a few weeks earlier, he took some Chinese businessmen to a remote shore. They took samples of black sand and said they'd be back soon.
According to some people, they say they'll find oil or iron ore here.
Exploiting those resources could present a whole host of new environmental challenges for the Tonle Sap. But the boatman, a young guy named Sang Tit, says he hopes the businessmen will be back.
I think if such a new development really happens, the lives of people here will be better.
Sang Tit believes development around the lake will bring jobs and cheaper access to raw materials. He sees it as nothing but a good thing. The Cambodian government says much the same. Cambodia is one of the poorest countries on Earth, and Niu Bon Er of the government's Tonle Sap Basin Authority says oil, gas, and mineral exploration near the Tonle Sap should benefit Cambodia if it's done right.
I think there are many technologies that can minimize the potential impacts, and then you can also make the oil and gas beneficial for the country economy, you know, because energy is very precious commodity.
Critics say it's more about profits for a privileged few, and that ordinary Cambodians will suffer as their environment deteriorates and their fish disappear. Even Bon Er sounds a little wistful about what's already being lost in the Tonle Sap. He recalls how, as a boy, he fished here with his uncle.
A lot of big fish. And then was so happy because, you know, when you catch fish, you all the time, it's a very joyful. At the time, you know, a lot of bamboo flooded forest events about 5 years ago, gone, no forest.
Other Cambodians, like those in this fishing village, may share that regret if current trends continue and the fish and forests and magical rhythms of the Tonle Sap become little more than memories. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad, Kampong Lung, Cambodia.